Baseball Insider John Morosi joins us. Insider at MLB Network and Fox Sports was at the Celebration for Life yesterday in Florida. It was a tough day, John, obviously for the people there, but mostly watching this family in their grief.
It really was, and I came away from that Celebration of Life just so taken and so inspired by Brandy Halliday's courage. She spoke for more than 15 minutes, as I'm sure many of our listeners watched yesterday, and just the honesty that she shared, just really, truly, I think, bearing her heart and soul to everyone, just took an amazing amount of courage on her part, and I think was really a gift to all those who listen, whether you were at home or whether you were there, to really listen and not just hear the words, but listen to what she was truly saying about her life, about her love for Roy, and what she wants his legacy to be. I think for all of us that have families and think about just the routines that we have, and I think anybody could have smiled when she mentioned the daily routines of the carpool and making lunches and practices that I think are very common to family life for everybody. I think that there was a commonality there, and also just a very, I think just a bittersweet recollection of what that life was for her and what she still wants that life to be for her sons. And the moment that she spoke to them and said that she still sees him in them every day, these were moments that I'll never forget. And I feel a great amount of gratitude to her. I think even though I didn't know the family personally, just the way that she described life and what she tasked all of us with doing when we went back home to our families after this Celebration of Life was over, just to hug our families tighter. It was a really powerful message, and you don't often hear honesty in the way that she shared it. And I think that all of us that heard it, I think are better for it today.
808, John Morosi joining us, Brady and Price at the GM meetings, and we'll get to some nuts and bolts of free agency, some nuts and bolts of offseason. My thought going forward, with great regard for all that you said, I feel there's some sticky moments going forward, and maybe it's where we're at in 2017. I think there are going to be, aspersions is too strong a word, but people are going to ask that the Blue Jays, you know, do something, and then it's going to be analyzed and critiqued, and there's going to be talk about the Phillies, and there's going to be people shamed if they don't have him on their first ballot for the Hall of Fame when he becomes posthumously eligible. I worry about those things. I don't like those things, but I do think they're, you know, I think these talks are happening, aren't they, in organizations, certainly in Toronto, to say, when do we do it? What's convenient for the family first and foremost? The family comes way before the fans do. They do. And I think I don't doubt that they're well on their way to figuring out the best way to do these things.
Well, I agree. And I think it was really within the immediate day or so after the tragic passing of Roy Halliday that the Blue Jays began to think about the best way to do that, whether that is level of excellence, whether that is jersey number retirement. It's unique. It's somewhat unique among MLB teams in terms of the Jays not having retired that many jerseys. Now, of course, they have not been in existence as long as the Yankees, but they have had great players. And, of course, as we know, the only two numbers retired, 42 for Robinson, as it is for all teams, and then Alomar's 12. I do believe that in time that Halliday's 32 will be retired, and it should. And yesterday, I really was impressed by the dual nature of the way that the two teams came together. Of course, they're spring training neighbors, I really was taken by the fact that both the Blue Jays flag and the Phillies flag were flying at Spectrum Field yesterday side by side in right field, which I thought was a very, very nice touch. And, of course, the 66 butterflies that were released at the end, the 66 was meant to represent the sum of his 34 his numbers, with the right. Phillies and his 32 with the Jays. So there was, I think, a very poignant sharing of the burden of grief and sharing of the responsibility of remembering by both teams. Halliday was obviously with the Jays about three times longer, at least at the major league level, than he was with the Phillies. But I do think to many fans in the U.S., certainly, they saw him in the playoffs with the Phillies. They saw him throw his perfect game with the Phillies. I think the recency factor, I think in your mind's eye, I think you do imagine him in a Philadelphia uniform for many fans, even though, as we all know, it started in Toronto and the vast majority of his greatest games were in fact with the Blue Jays.
With our baseball insider, John Morosi, MLB Network and Fox Sports, at the celebration of life for Roy Halladay yesterday and at the general manager's meetings. It's like a recent phenomena of the general manager's meetings. Everything used to happen at the winter meetings, but here we go. Salvos have already been pushed, and the Blue Jays apparently have been in contact with Lorenzo Cain's people. That we know this now is a little surprising that happened, but it shows you that the Blue Jays are getting on this thing, that there's areas they know they need to fill right away. Does something happen at the general manager's meetings, or is this setting things up so that by the time the winter meetings come along, especially in the Blue Jays case, that they have something ready to go?
Yeah, I would doubt something happens this week, Elliot. It is so striking, and I do have a certain amount of jealousy for my colleagues on the hockey reporting side for many reasons, as we know. But one of them is, of course, free agency in the NHL takes about 3 days, and here 3 days it takes us to basically just write everybody's name on a piece of paper and stare at it for a while and then wait for the action to come some weeks later. It's a very different pace, and which is fine. It keeps us busy, which we enjoy, but I would not anticipate major signings this week. It's a much slower process, and certainly a couple unique things about this year is there are teams that are waiting to see what's going on with Shohei Ohtani, and we may in fact see an announcement today on the new posting system. And also Giancarlo Stanton, $295 million left on his deal. There's a lot of interest in him, but maybe some reluctance to take on that sum of money for very, very good reasons. And we have the very strong irony that the trade piece of Stanton ends up being more expensive than even the greatest desires of J.D. Martinez, whose price tag appears to be $210 million over 7 years on the free agent market. So this is the rare year in which the trade option is more expensive than the free agents, which makes everything topsy-turvy. So it's probably going to take some time for people to sort out what all of these things mean. However, the fact that the Jays are reportedly on Kane is interesting. It was last year that they pursued Dexter Fowler. Now they pursue Kane, which to me indicates that Kevin Pillar's place in center field for this team is far from assured, that there are a lot of different options being considered. Kane, from talking to sources here, I mean, he wants to play center field, and executives believe that he still can. So for the Jays to have the winning bid on Kane, they're going to have him play center field, and clearly that would mean a either change in role or change in uniform for Kevin Pillar.
John Morosi, our guest, tell us the challenge and the benefits of now becoming the Atlanta Braves general manager for Alex Anthopoulos. We were scouring farm systems, and there's a good chunk of websites, and you won't be surprised because you're deep in on this, that like the Braves prospects more than the White Sox. And that's all the White Sox have been doing the last 2 years, is attempting to accumulate prospects through you know, Jose Quintana trade, Chris Sale trade. But a lot of people like Atlanta's farm system better. They got fat money in on Matt Kemp still, fat money in on a very productive Freddie Freeman. But new ballpark, he's got a lot of toys to play with.
He does, and Alex said yesterday he feels like this is one of the premier jobs in sports, or maybe it was Monday at his press conference when he said that. So that he believes it, and one word of caution, though, is that as MLB completes its investigation into the signing improprieties of Alex's predecessor, they will have some penalties. I think that we're all relatively confident of that. It could be a loss of draft picks. It could even be a loss of one of those players, one of those very highly regarded prospects, Kevin Maiton, could be theoretically declared a free agent. Now, that would be a substantial penalty, but it is one that has not been ruled out. So I think pay close attention to just how severe those penalties are. Again, likely at the very least loss of draft picks and loss of amateur international signing bonus allocations. But if Kevin Maitan is released, that would be really one of their best two prospects, along with Acuna being let go. So I think pay close attention there. But Alex, it's great to have him back. I say this as someone that just enjoyed covering him when he was in Toronto. It's great to have him back in the GM chair. I saw him yesterday. He was just waiting for an elevator here at the GM meetings, and I said, Alex,
tell him to take the stairs.
I said, you've been on the job 24 hours, no trades yet. He just started laughing. So he's as we all know, just as great of a representative for baseball as there is, and I'm thrilled for him. The only bittersweet part is, of course, that if the Expos come back around in a couple of years, it may take some doing for him to get back to his hometown as the GM there. So we'll see how that
all works. He'll trade himself. He'll find a way to trade himself in that deal.
There you go.
Yeah.
Baseball Cy Young Award winners will be announced today. I don't know if you had a vote. If you did, who'd you vote for? If you didn't, who would you have voted for? Kluber, Sale, Severino in the American League, Kershaw, Scherzer, Strasburg in the National League. All six had wonderful seasons.
Yes, they did. I was a manager of the year voter. I voted for Molitor last night, so I was pleased to see him win. And what was a very close vote. There were really no wrong choices there. I think with the Cy Young, American League Kluber, he closed the gap enough with innings with Sale that I think that Kluber was overall, look at the ERA difference, and I realize we have more tools than ERA now, but still that was a pretty significant advantage for him in ERA. So I think Kluber gets it in the American League, and National League, I go with Scherzer. Scherzer, his numbers were extraordinary, strikeout numbers still very high. The ERA was obviously very low. I mean, his numbers may not have been, in terms of the rate stats, quite as impressive as Kershaw, but he threw, I believe, about 25 more innings. So I think Max, the bulk of the work was there, the superlative work was there, and now he's on the verge of a third Cy Young. He's won it in both leagues. Max Scherzer right now, guys, I would have to say, is on his way to the Hall of Fame. He will have to complete, I think, the next 4 to 5 years of his career with you would hope at least still winning 15 plus games a year, somewhere in that range. But if he can do that, there's every reason to believe he's a Hall of Famer. I think our calibration for what is required of a Hall of Famer is going to change over time. But what Max Scherzer has done in this era stands up against virtually any other pitcher, maybe with the one exception of Kershaw, at least in this decade. But Max Scherzer, extraordinary, and I think he is well on his way to Cooperstown.
Well, I mean, great job by the Tigers lowballing him, John. I mean, why not just offer him $20 an hour? I mean,
yeah,
really?
I know. There have been some notable errors, both of commission and omission by the Tigers with their recent contract.
You and I had a whole row to ourselves last summer. We'll have a whole section in a couple summers.
Why can't you just laud them for the trade that brought him there, which was brilliant?
Okay, that was a bit of a fleecing and a three-way deal. I'll give you that.
That was. So you have to, hey, we have loved and lost, Greg. I suppose better than never to have done so at all. That team had a great run, but talking to people here and looking at their trajectory, sadly, the party in Motown is over.
Your party here is over for today, John Morosi. We have our fingers crossed that you can make it through your very difficult posting in Orlando, Florida over the next few days.
All right, well, I'll be at the Lightning game tomorrow.
All
Lightning
right.
Stars trying to
stick to baseball, Morosi.
I have been contractually assigned to cover it by the NHL Network, so I'll be there.
Nothing. Right. Dallas Tampa Bay regular season game is hard to turn down.
Thank
I gotta
you, John.
Tell you.
So, yeah, it's going to be fun.
It will be.
Ben Bishop's return.